in the book of Genesis, in chapter 19, it's the story of Sodom and Gomorrah as they got destroyed, and the story of Lot, who lived there. And I'm going to probably end up hitting this whole chapter, but I'm going to try not to read it all at first. And there came two angels to Sodom at even. And Lot sat at the gate of Sodom, and the Lot, seeing them, rose to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, "Behold, now, my lords, turn in, I pray thee, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and you shall rise early, and go on your way." And they said, "Nah, we will abide here in the street all night." And he pressed upon them greatly. And they turned into him. They turned unto him and entered into his house. And he made a feast for them and did bake unleavened bread and did feed them. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both young and old, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot, and he said unto, "Where are the men which came to thee this night? Bring them out to us, that we may know them." And Lot went out at the door unto them, and shut the door behind him, and said, "I pray you, brethren, I pray you, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which you have not known, which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do you unto them as good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof." And they said, "Stand back." And they said again, "This is one fellow came into sojourn, and he needs to be judged. Now we'll deal worse with thee than with them." And they pressed sore on the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house and shut the door. And they smote the men who were at the door with blindness, both small and great. We're going to go on down through that chapter, but I want to tell you the story of Lot. As these two angels from the Lord came to rescue Lot and his family. And I want to challenge you with something. The reason these two angels from the Lord came to rescue Lot and his family was not because of Lot's righteousness. It was because of the blessings, of the generational blessing of his uncle Abraham. Mm-hmm. If you look back, we can see the story of Lot as it starts in chapter 13, chapter 12, 13. And Abraham and Lot worked together. They worked together, and they had their herds together. And you know, Abraham took Lot in and kind of took him in as a son. But they prospered so much because of Abraham's faithfulness to the Lord that they got to be that they didn't have enough room in the land. So Abraham said to Lot, "I tell you what, if you go to the left hand, I'll go to the right, but let's not let our people fight. Let's not destroy this land. There's all kinds of good land out there. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right, and if you go to the right, I'll go to the left." Then the Bible says that Lot looked across the land, and he seen across Sodom how good it was, how glorious it was, and how much grass there was in the fields, and how much, boy, it just got his eyes, didn't it? The world got a hold of his eyes. And he says, "Oh," and I'm sure he said to himself, "Boy, look at that world. It's so luscious. Oh, I can make so much money there in the world. Oh, my animals will be the best, and my crops will grow the best." And so the Bible says that Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. My friends, I'm here to tell you tonight, if you pitch your tent towards the world, it will not be long. You'll be smack dab in the middle of the world.
Yeah.
There's every one of us. We see the world, and we see the glory that it can offer us. We see the money that can entice us. And we see that job where you know that they're doing things maybe not quite right. Maybe a little bit under the table, but look at the money you can make. And you can justify it. You can justify it by saying, "Well, that gives me more tithing to give to my church." I'm telling you, you get involved in that, you will be smack dab in the middle of it. It's a subtle thing, the enemy. He's subtle. He comes in sneaky. He gets you here at the little whisper, and he gets you there at the little whisper. And all along, you're justifying it, just like Lot. Lot didn't purposely go there to sin. He didn't purposely go there to get tied up in this country of Sodom. It was a subtle thing. He looked across to the east, and the land looked good. It just looked good. So he says, I'll go. I'll pitch my tent towards Sodom. The next couple chapters, you see Abraham, chapter 14, Abraham has to go and rescue Lot. Because Lot's getting taken captive. He's getting sunken in. He's getting engulfed. He's getting imprisoned by the world and by these evil people. And I'm here to challenge you, how many of us get imprisoned by the world? Does the world get a hold of you and it becomes bondage? The money and the fame and all the stuff of the world. And it gets a hold of you. And all of a sudden you become a prisoner. You become challenged that you can't get out. You just feel like there's no way out. How many times do we borrow money to the point that we have to stay in the world because otherwise we can't pay off our debts? How many times do we get ourselves so wrapped up into the financial of it, we get our cost of living so high that if the Lord calls us to step out of the job that we're in, we can't do it? What if the Lord called you to work at McDonald's right now? Because he had somebody there that he wanted you to witness to. But you're used to making 50 or 60 G's a year because you got your cost of living so bound up around that. The lust of the world, the pride of life. You know, you got the boat payment and the motorcycle payment. And you got this and you got that. And all of a sudden, you got yourself so deep into the world that you can't get back out of it.
That's right. Yeah.
And with the pats on the back and the attaboys at your job and they're, well, you're doing such a great job, and here's a little bonus. Now, could you just do this? Could you just say this? Could you just work a little longer? I know you got service tonight at 7, but could you just skip it tonight and do this for me? Because you're such a good employee. You wouldn't want to wreck that. How about that pride of life that gets a hold of you and swells you up? But you can justify it. Say, geez, I go every Wednesday and I go to church every Sunday morning. It wouldn't hurt to miss this one time. And you know what? You're right. It wouldn't hurt. It wouldn't hurt the church. It wouldn't hurt the people. But what's it doing in here with the decay and the corruption? And I'm not a big promotion of Wednesday night service or not like that. I'm just saying it's the heart thing. It's about the heart. You give a little here and you give a little there. So Lot is in Sodom. Now the Lord tells Abraham he's going to destroy Sodom. Chapter 18. The Lord tells Abraham he's going to destroy Sodom. And the Lord cries out for Sodom. He cries out for Lot and his people one more time. He says, oh, can't you save them? What if there's 20? If there's 20 righteous, will you save it? And the Lord said, for 20, I'll do it.
Yeah.
Abraham says, Lord, I'm going to go out and live here, but what if there's 10? He's counting down. He starts counting down a lot higher now, but he goes down a lot. What if there's 10, Lord? Lord says, you know what? If there's 10, I'll save them. It's funny to find he couldn't find 10 righteous in Sodom and Gomorrah. He couldn't find 10 righteous. But because of the faithfulness of Abraham, because of his plea and his cry, because of his many tears, because of his faithfulness to the Lord, because he was willing to give up all for the Lord. You see, he earned, if I can say it that way, a generational blessing for his family. And so the Lord says, I'm going to save Lot, I'm going to save Abraham's family. Even though they're wicked, I'm going to save them. I'm going to save them because of Abraham. Not because of what Lot does, but because of Abraham. So he goes in. And the story gets pretty interesting. So the angel goes in. Now, there's a few verses that just really pop out to me when I was reading this afternoon. There's just a few verses that really pop out to me. Okay, I'm going to start here. I'm going to read this in a different translation. I got a different translation here. But Lot insisted, so at last they went home with him. Okay, now this is where obviously when the angels come, Lot's sitting outside the city. Why would Lot be sitting outside the city? Why would he be sitting smack dab in the middle of the world? Why wouldn't he be in his home with his family? He's in the world because he's so engulfed in the world. He was probably joining them in whatever they were doing at that time, in their homosexual acts and their immoral acts, whatever that might have been. He was probably in the city joining them at that time, and he sees these two angels of the Lord. Now, Lot knows the Lord because he knows Abraham. Amen? So Lot knows the Lord, so he recognizes the angels of the Lord. So immediately, Lot jumps up and he says, hey, come with me. I don't want you to see what's going on here, like he's hiding from the Lord. And how many of us do that? How many of us try to hide our lives from the Lord? We can hide it from each other, can't we? We keep the doors closed and the curtains pulled. When we're out in public, we all got a smile, and the kids got a smile, and we're the perfect Joneses, right? But behind closed doors, how much yelling and screaming and cussing is going on? How much of immoral activity is going on? See, we're real good at hiding it from the world, and then all of a sudden we our heart become to the point that we think we can hide our sin from God. Or somehow that we can justify that God says it's okay. So Lot's sitting outside the city, and he sees the angel of the Lord. He recognizes him. He says, so Lot insisted that they come and live in his home. And then Lot says, oh yeah, he says, my lords, he says, come to my home and wash your feet and be my guest for the night. Then you can get up early in the morning and be on your way. He don't want the Lord there very much. He said, just come spend the night with me and then you can get up and take off. Well, how about us? How much time do we want the Lord to be there on Sunday, don't we? Or when there's trouble. Well, we want the Lord to spend the night with us when there's trouble, huh? When one of the kids gets sick or you lose a job. Boy, you want the Lord that night, don't you? Lord, come spend the night with me. And once you fix this problem, you can be on your way. There's so many parallels here to what we see today in our lives, in our community, in our Christianity. So then Lot insists that they come. After the meal, they were preparing to retire for the night. And the men of Sodom, young and old, came from all over the city and surrounded the house. And they shouted, Lot, where are the men who came to spend the night with you? Bring them out so we could have sex with them. Now, I want to talk to you about this. Now, if Lot is sitting out in the city, right, and he sees the angels of the Lord coming, now, I can imagine he's really involved with these men of the city and whatever they're up to. And these men of the city see Lot, right? And they see him, these two men. Now, they didn't recognize him as Lord because they didn't have Abraham as an uncle. They just recognized two men. So they watch Lot take these two men and sneak them into his house. And they're saying, well, that dirty dog, he ain't sharing. How dare they take, how dare Lot take two men and not share them with us? I mean, after all, he was just out here, we were sharing with him. So they come and they pound on the door. Hey, send them out here. Get them out here now. So the next thing that Lot does, and this is really hit me. Lot stepped outside to talk to them, shutting the door behind him. Now I'll tell you something. Before I got born again, I was a drug addict. And I had three kids at home and a wife at home. And they didn't really know my lifestyle. They did, but I thought I was hiding it. Okay? So whenever my drug friends would come over, you know what I'd do? I'd step out the door and I'd shut it so the kids wouldn't see them. And we'd go out in the garage, we'd have a little conversation and maybe do a little drugs. And I think about Lot. They make it a point to say that Lot stepped out the door and he closed the door behind him. He didn't want the angels of the Lord to see that he knew these men. Right? He wanted this to be a private conversation. He didn't want the Lord to hear about this conversation. And now Lot knows He's got himself in a bind right now. He's got himself in a real pickle. He's got God staying in his house, and he's living an immoral life. Now what's he going to do? He knows he's just about ready to get something here. So it says, oh, he says, please, my brothers. And see, here's another thing. Please, my brothers. Why would he call them brothers if they weren't exactly like him? We call each other brothers and sisters in the Lord. But why would you call somebody a brother if you're not part of their clan or their group or their family? So he's saying to these immoral men, please, my brothers. He begged them, don't do such a wicked thing. Look, I have two virgin daughters. Do with them as you wish, but leave these men alone, for they are under my protection. There's a real parallel here, folks. Right here. Here's my two daughters. Do whatever you want with them. Abuse them, rape them, whatever you want. Molest them. Anything you want to do, he's saying. And at that point, he just changed the course of his family from generational blessing to generational curse. Think about that. Because I'm not going to go through the whole story. Well, I am going to go through the whole story, but not in real detail. But I'm going to tell you, from that point forward, there was a curse on that family generation. And I'll show it to you. Going on down the story, they said, stand back. We want those men. And of course, you know what the angels of the Lord did. Now, they blinded the men, and then Okay, so then the angel of the Lord says, do you have other relatives here in this city? I mean, the Lord is, there's a blessing from Abraham. You know, the Lord's saying, you know what? Because of Abraham, your whole family's protected. There's a protection. There's a blessing over your family, man. You have other relatives? Go get them. Go get them. You're all under this blessing, this anointing from the Lord through Abraham. Do you have other relatives here in this city? The angels ask. Go get them. And get them out of this place. For crying out loud. What are you doing? Go get your family and get out of here. What the heck? Get them all out. The son-in-laws, the sons, the daughters, and anyone else. This is interesting. The Lord says to him, go get your son-in-laws, your sons, and your daughters. And get them out. And any more else you have. For we will destroy the city completely. The stench of this place has reached the Lord, and he has sent us to destroy it. So Lot rushed out to tell his daughter's fiancés. Wait a minute. What did the Lord just say? Go get your son-in-laws, your sons, and anyone else. And Lot went out to get his daughter's fiancés. What about the sons? Did Lot know that the sons were so deep into it that there was no hope for him? Why didn't Lot go warn his sons? Again, the curse. The curse of Lot. So Lot rushed out to tell his daughter's fiancés, quick, get out of the city. The Lord is going to destroy it. But the young men thought he was only joking. At dawn the next morning, the angel became insistent. Hurry, they said to Lot. Take your wife and your two daughters. See, now at this point, they know there ain't nobody else coming except these two daughters. Take your wife and your two daughters who are with you. Get out of here right now, or you'll be caught in the destruction of the city. When Lot still hesitated. Now, the Lord has given Lot chance after chance to get out of sin. To step out of the world, to step out of this little bit of sin that he's in, to get out of this sin. And it says, when Lot still hesitated. How many times has that happened to us or our relatives? When time after time, the Lord rescues them. Time after time, the Lord comes back and protects them. And they still hesitate. They still just don't quite give it all. So Lot still hesitated. The angel seized his hand. Now, this is how persistent the Lord is. His promises are about a blessing. Generational blessings. When Lot still hesitated, the angel seized his hands and the hands of his wife and his two daughters and rushed them to safety outside the city. The Lord actually physically grabbed them and drug them outside the city. You can't get away from the curse, from the blessings that your family set up for you. But my friends, you can't get away from the curse either unless you get serious with the Lord. And you look at the way the world was 50 years ago, 100 years ago. The morality of the people. And you look at our kids today. And there's a parallel here that will shake your world. It's your fault and it's my fault that our kids are the way they are. And it's our parents' fault. And to wherever this curse started. And it needs to be broken. So Lot, okay, hesitated. Now run for your lives. Okay, Lot's got him outside the city because then it says, because the Lord was merciful. I'd say he was merciful. Yeah. Now the Lord says, run for your lives, the angels warned. Do not stop anywhere in the valley. Do not go look back. Escape to the mountains or you will die. Again, here's old Lot. Oh, no, my Lord, please, Lot begged. You have been so kind to me and saved my life. You have granted me so much mercy, but I cannot go to the mountain. Disaster will catch me there. See, there is a small village nearby. Please let me go there instead. Don't you see how small it is? Then my life will be saved. My friends, that's where our Christianity is at today. When the Lord calls us to a life of holiness, when the Lord is calling us to live a life of purity, when the Lord is calling us to be holy as He is holy, we say, Lord, can I have a little bit? You have so much mercy. I know if I just say, God, forgive me that you forgive every sin, so I'll just go ahead and sin a little bit. I'm just going to sleep with my girlfriend tonight because I know tomorrow I can repent because you have so much mercy. I want just a little bit of sin, God. I don't want to go murder nobody. I just want to have a little bit of sin in my life. God, please, just let me have a little Zor, because that's the name of the city that he went to. They actually named that city after that, Zor, which means little. And that's exactly what Lot was crying out for. Lord, that's too tall of an order to ask me to be sinless, to go clear to the mountain. That's too hard. Let me have just a little bit of sin. Just a little bit of the world. Let me hang on to just a little bit of Egypt. And we still do that today, my friends. So the Lord says, all right, go to Zor. Just get going and don't look back. For crying out loud, whatever you do, don't look back at that rotten life you was in. At least maybe take one step for glory, and maybe I can lead you from glory to glory. But don't look back. And the next thing we hear is his wife can't even stop. She has to look back at her old sinful life. She has to look back at the world. And the Lord says, I've had it! And he sees a pillar of salt. And my friends, I'm here to tell you that if you know the Lord, and you know his promises, and you know his commandments, and you continue to dabble in the world, there's going to be a point in your life when God's going to say enough is enough. God's going to say, enough is enough. I've had it. You look back at the world one too many times, and you're a pillar of salt. You're out of here. So I'll prove to you now about the generational curse. So I'll read on further down. The angel says, but hurry, for I can do nothing from you, from then on, that village will be called Zor. The sun was rising as Lot reached the village. Then the Lord rained down fire and burning sulfur from the heavens on Sodom and Gomorrah. He utterly destroyed them along with other cities and the villages on the plain. eliminating all life, people, plants, and animals alike. But Lot's wife looked back, and she was following along behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. The next morning, Abraham cried out. The next poor Abraham. The next morning, Abraham knew at that point that all that blessing for his family, all that prayer that he had put out to maintain that blessing over his family, all that the good deeds that he did to protect his family, he knew at that very moment that it was gone. He knew at that very moment that it was all in vain now, that all of a sudden that generation went from a blessing to a curse. So the next morning, Abraham sees the smoke and he's devastated. But going on down, I gotta share this with you. In chapter 20, and now Abraham moved south. Maybe I'm not. Nope, I'm still in 19. Afterwards, Lot left Zoar because he was afraid of the people there. If you continue to live in the world, you continue to live in fear. When you know the Lord, when you know the Lord's power, you will live in fear all your life. You're scared of the Lord. You're scared of the people. You're in paranoia. You're constantly looking out your window. You're constantly looking over your shoulder. There is never peace, because the only peace that comes to us is from the Lord. Mm-hmm. Jesus says, come to me, all of you who are heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest.
Yeah.
And if you are running from the Lord, you will never have peace in your heart.
That's right.
Afterwards, they left Zoar because he was afraid of the people there, and he went to live in a cave in a mountain with his two daughters. He went to live in a cave in the mountain. And how many of us are living in caves today? We think we got everything, don't we? We think we got the whole world, we got the riches and the nice homes, and yet we live in a cave. Because the Lord says you can't take any of it with you.
That's right.
He says, store up your treasures not on earth, where they get rusted and moth-eaten, but store up your riches in heaven. So Lot went to live in a cave with his two daughters. And it goes on to say that the daughter said, oh, understand something. Don't the Bible say something about you reap what you sow?
Yeah.
Well, now the daughters are saying, there ain't no men left, and we can't even carry on our family's name. So they skennive up a plan. Well, they wouldn't skennive up a plan if they weren't taught by their dad how to be a skenniver. Think about that with your children. Think about that with all the children. Where do they learn from? We want to blame that they learn it in school. Bull. They learn it at home.
That's right.
They learn it from their family, from their parents, grandparents. So, the two daughters, they got this plan. The first one, the older one, she gets Lot drunk. She gets Lot drunk and she sleeps with him. Next day, she tells the younger daughter, go ahead and do the same thing. It worked pretty well for me. So the younger daughter does the same thing. She sleeps with her dad. That way, our family line will be preserved. That's right. That way, their family line was preserved. Because check this out. As before, Lot was unaware that his daughters were doing this to him. I wonder how that could be. Lot was unaware that his daughters were doing this to him. Now, it's in the Word. I believe it. Because I believe every single word of this Scripture to be true. So I believe that Lot was unaware that this was being done to him. Wouldn't it have to be that something blinded him? Wouldn't it have to be that something wiped out a memory of about 12 hours or 8-hour period? It was the alcohol, right? It was the alcohol. So how many people today consume a mind-altering substance that blinds them? What I'm trying to get at is this. They drank wine in the Old Testament. They drank wine. And I don't think anywhere else it talks about it made them go completely blind or completely lose their memory. So don't you think that there's a force behind this? And don't you think that same force is behind that same alcohol today and drugs? Would you agree with me that probably at least 50 or 80% of all crime and all immorality and all evil in this world has to do with drugs and alcohol and mind-altering chemicals and substances? So where is it coming from? It's coming from the enemy. And yet we support it every single day. We support it every single day. So, back on down to the end of the story here. When the older daughter gave birth to a son, she named him Moab, which is the father of the Moabites. And when the younger daughter gave birth, she named him Ben-Ammi, which is the father of the generation of the Ammonites. And if you read the rest of the Old Testament, from Genesis all the way through to Jesus, even into the New Testament, the main enemies of the Israelites was the Moabites and the Ammonites. Think about that. Because of Lot and his sin, because he reversed that generational blessing to a generational curse, those two generations were enemies of God's forever. So the way you live your life is not only your responsibility for you. And I want to tell you people who don't have children or don't ever expect to have children, don't think you're out of this because you don't have children, because Abraham did this for Lot and he was a nephew. Everyone's got family. And it's your responsibility. Not only to the Lord, but we have to break those generational curses. Mm-hmm. If we want to make a change, we have to break them generational curses. And it has to start with here. Yes. And then we start it with our children. Then we take it to our children. I want to tell you guys something tonight. Jesus Christ said, you're either for me or you're against me.
That's right.
You're either gathering for my kingdom or you're scattering abroad. Mm-hmm. There is no in between. There's no downtime. There's no rest. Your life, your actions, your words are a testimony for or against Jesus Christ.